Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
We're going to start reading in the Word of God from Philippians 4:13, but it is an honor to be here. We truly love Portland, and man, it has been many years. I'll get to that in a minute, but I'm so thankful for Pastor Hanson and First Lady Hanson. They are wonderful people. Can we give them another hand? You guys are blessed with a wonderful pastor and wife. Thank you so much for what you've done here in Portland. Thank you. And I'm honored to have my wife here as well. She's the better half. Man, she can sing and play. I tried to get her to play and sing this morning. She said no, so I'm sorry. I guess you guys don't allow that anyway, so she's just following the will of the Lord. Amen. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to read that again, and next time I want you to point to yourself. This isn't for somebody else. It's not for your neighbor. It's not for somebody across the street. This is for you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, that's for you too. Look at your other neighbor and mean it this time. Tell them you mean it. It's for you too. Amen. God bless you. And you may be seated this morning. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And as I was mentioning, Brother Hanson, then I was born and raised in Beaverton, Aloha, under Pastor B.A. King. And my dad moved us to Tennessee because he thought Portland was too crazy back in 99. And oh, man, it was so funny. Talking to him now, he's like, man, we had to get out of there. It was crazy. But there has been a burden in our heart to come back to Portland. I don't know if you've ever gone downtown or drove around Portland. You see there's a lot of people who need God. Yes, there are. And, I tell you, we travel places, and they're like, what are you going to do in your future? I said, man, we want to go to Portland and start a church. They said, are you crazy? It's crazy over there. I said, man, it is just beautiful over there. Because all I see is there's a whole bunch of people that need Jesus like we did. Oh, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, man. Hey, I thank God where he brought me from. I wasn't a big old sinner. I was just a little sinner. But I know there's a lot of people who need God more than I do, and I need God a lot. Amen. Okay, y'all are saved. Praise God. Okay, let's go on. Amen, amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many times have you heard of the story of David and Goliath? I began thinking of, I was raised in church, and I was put in all the, my dad, we did not skip church service. We went to every single service. I actually went to church the day my brother was born. We didn't skip church. My dad made sure we went to church. He called my uncle up and said, hey, take my kid to church. They can't miss today. I'm like, oh, come on, Dad, just one day? They got cartoons on the TV. I ain't seen one of those before. I began thinking of how many times I've heard of David and Goliath in Scripture, and I've heard the story so much. And then as you get older, you begin realizing that the David you learned of in Sunday school is not really the David you learn of later. It's quite a transformation of this man who is on fire for God. And then there's some things. Let me tell you what, if I love pastors who say, man, we just need some people like David who love to repent. I said, well, you got them coming. Have you ever thought that David's the one who killed a man to sleep with his wife and stole another man's husband and he killed these people and he did that man? You sure you want those type of people in your church? I want somebody that repents and has a heart after God. I said, he was a crazy man sometimes. Man, if David walked in your church, some of y'all be calling the police. This okay? I'm just being real this morning. But David and Goliath is a worldwide known story. And I was reading a book, and this author was talking about leadership and said that he was giving a seminar at a big Fortune 500 company, and he told the story of David and Goliath, and the guy there was like, man, that is such a good story. And he's like, do you know where that story came from? And he's like, this is just something we've used, you know? And he goes, that actually came from the Bible. He's like, no way. And I remember teaching a Bible study to a girl in our town, and she looked at me, and I was like, so David and Goliath in Scripture, you know, we're going to kind of go fast because we know that. And she goes, who's David and Goliath? So it's a crazy world we live in where people don't even know David and Goliath. But with this story, I began thinking of Goliath. And if you have heard it today, I hope you'll just let me take a few minutes and hopefully we'll find something new in the story of David and Goliath. Goliath was not just an adversary. He not only had many victories in his life, and I'm going to speak on the lessons I learned in the field. So if you're wondering where I'm going, that's where I'm going. But Goliath was not just an adversary. He was a man who won many battles. He was a champion. He was great and mighty. Nothing like the Portland Trailblazers, but he was a champion. I can say that because I've been a Trailblazers fan all my life, okay? I'm bashing me too, man. There's days I'm like, Lord, is it time I can switch teams yet? Because they ain't won a thing in my life. Some of y'all, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know I had such spiritual people. Y'all don't even know who that is. Okay. But he was a champion. He knew how to win something, man. And he came out there and he brought just this mighty look to him. Like, I've done something. You know, when they get out there on their championship parades, on their floats, they're like, check this out. My championship ring. And that's how Goliath came out there that day, man. He was just taunting and he was just throwing out all this ooze of how great he was. Dear God, I hate people like that sometimes. They just like to throw it in your face how great they are. And, ooh, look at all this I got going. And you're over there like, Lord, bless me a little bit. Lord, I'm driving a rental van out there. My wife's afraid to get in. Bless me a little, Lord. When y'all leave, go to the left. You'll see it, okay? It's a big old sign out there. Oh, man. But you know what got me amazed is the very first thing in Scripture you'll find about Goliath is you will find the size of Goliath. It'll tell you how tall he was. It'll tell you what type of armor he had on. It'll tell you every single little detail of Goliath. Because when Goliath came into the camp, the first thing the people of God could realize was what type of person he was. And when the adversary comes against you, the first thing you notice is what is coming against you. And you can measure it up and say, my God, I've never seen an enemy attack me like that. That thing is so tall and it's so big. And look at all the victories it's brought with it. Look at this. The first thing we see is by sight. And that enemy came out there just full of glory and big in power, just saying, look at me, look how big I am. And that's the first thing that we can notice is the enemy. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But somehow in that camp, it became greater is he that is in the world than he that is in me. But we have to remind ourselves, it is not greater is that out there, but it's greater that is in here. I get there's a world out there. I get they talk crazy out there, but greater is he that is in me. I don't care what they're trying to do out there. I don't care what restrictions they put up, because I know there's a God that is greater in me. I feel a preaching spirit coming on. I'm sorry. I'm a country stick boy. My dad yells the whole time, so I try not to yell the whole time. I'm sorry. I'll hold back a little bit. But I just get fired up when I know that he's greater in me. Man, you ought to look at those champions of the world. They boast and they puff themselves up. They want you to know that they want you to think that they're powerful. But the people that have the real power are the ones cowering in the corner. Oh my God, what are we going to do? But we have to remind ourselves, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Look at yourself and say, that's me. You have the power. You have the power. If you've been filled with the Spirit, if you've been washed in the blood, if you've been baptized in his name, you have the power. Woo. I went to the Netherlands, man, and they were talking about, oh my God, they got to legalize drugs there. You can do whatever you want to. You can go to the red light district and do whatever you want to. You can do anything. And then we decide we want to come to Portland. We feel God's calling. They're like, look how crazy it is. I've already been to the Netherlands. It ain't much worse. It's about the same. But you know what we saw? Is we went in there and we started praying and saying, God, I know there's some spirits in this city and they've had a stronghold for a long time, but greater are you that is in me. I'm going to walk in boldness. I don't care how big that demon looks coming against me, because I got the spirit in me. He's nothing but a little runt. I've had big people pick on me, boy. You know what? Some people can be all talk, though. They look big and they can talk big, but you get them out there, buddy. Woo, I've been working up in the garage, man. I've been working with that fork. I got some muscle here you ain't seen. Hey, if you realize what you have on the inside, you're not scared of what you see on the outside. You're not as scared to knock that door. You're not scared to go to those people that they said, oh, you'll never touch them. You'll never reach them. Ooh, you don't want to go there. They got devils over there. Man, this ain't even my notes, but I feel in the spirit. We've been praying for Portland. You don't want to go there. There's spirits there. There's evilness there. Hello, I thought we had the power. You ought to rock around like you something. You ought to get you a Jesus Name Championship shirt on. I don't know, maybe it ought to be Portland Pentecostal Champions. I'm a champion because I walk in faith. I walk in the power of God. I'm not afraid of anything that comes against me. And let me tell you some victories we've already won. Let me tell you about some people we've already pulled out of this city, out of sin, out of shame, out of disgust. Let me tell you what God. Woo! Come on, why don't you clap your hands right now? Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I said I wasn't going to yell much. I'm sorry. It's happening. Okay. Calm down. Breathe, Michael. Breathe. Ah, man. I like that. Portland champions. Man, come on. If our basketball team can't win, at least the church is. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I hate being on a losing team. And thank God I joined the church where we don't lose. I don't hold my head in shame. I'm not worried, man. I believe if you come in here, God will fill you with the Spirit. I believe if you come in here with addictions, God can deliver you of those addictions. I believe if you come in here with a broken home, God is able to restore your home. I believe that's the type of church we're in today. That's this type of church where God still works, God still moves, and great victory. Still happens in this church. This is the type of church this city needs. They need a champion. This city's had too many demons going around for too long saying this is their town. They've had too many spiritual strongholds flaunting their championship jackets saying, y'all don't want to come here. This is my city. But we need that church to arise and say, I may look like a little David on a hill, but you know what? Greater is he that's in me. I feel victory in this house. And it's not for this house. You know what? I truly believe a championship team has in their spirit and in their mind how to win. Because they've done it. And that's why if you listen to sports, I know Pastor said he's not a big sports analogy person the other night. So if I mess up, I'm sorry, people. This is me. But I've heard that whenever they predict people to go to the championship again, they also base it off of how much talent has had championship experience. And when they get to the playoffs, they say, man, they've had championship experience. They know how to get through this fight. They went to the Super Bowl. They know how to push a little more. They know that halftime isn't it, even though you're down at half. There's still another half to go. And the church, you know what? We fought a lot of battles and we've seen a lot of victories, and we ought to have something in us that says, you know what? I get the world may look dark, but I've seen a victory or two, and our time is not over. Look at your neighbor, tell him you're a champion. I don't know if you know this or not, but words are very powerful. Satan in Scripture records, the Scripture records Satan talking when he had no power to do anything. I did a study one time. I said, I want to see every time Satan was mentioned in Scripture. And think about this. When Satan was in the Garden of Eden, praise God. Wow. Sorry. I need to go back to bed. When he was in the garden, he went and he talked to Eve. He said, oh, girl, you sure you don't want to try this fruit? Then think, when he went to Jesus, he's like, oh, you muddy man, come down here, but I could make you greater. Yeah. And then when you think of the story of Job, I never see Satan coming down there to Job saying, oh, Job, if you will love me and proclaim me as God, I will pull off my hand from you and I won't do anything to you. You see, the one time Satan had the power to do something, he never went and talked to that person. He went and did it. Go look at it. Satan went to the throne of God and he said, Lord, you've been protecting Job. That's why he's okay. But if you let me touch him, he won't do it anymore. And God said, okay, go ahead. And you know what he did? He went and did it. But when he went to the garden and when he was tempting Jesus, he had no power to do anything. All he could do was talk. So if Satan's talking to you, he has no power. All he's doing is trying to intimidate you like Goliath did. And he's trying to tell you, you can't come in here. You're going to be torn apart. You don't want to come in here. You'll lose your family. But if you realize that God is greater and God is for you, it's just a whole bunch of talk. And sometimes we listen to the words of the enemy and we become so threatened and so intimidated by the words. But if Satan is talking, all he can do is talk. Because if he had the power to do it, baby, he would have done it. Okay, I'll move on. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. It is important for us to come to the church because we get all those negative voices. We get the voices that we can't do anything. But today you have come into the house of God and said, I need you to lift me up a little bit. And that's what I'm trying to do today, is say, I'm glad you're here. I'm going to remind you again that you're a champion and that you are going to do great things. Okay, I got to skip some stuff. I'm so sorry. I was just preaching away there and forgot. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, or as New Living Translation says, we live by believing and not by seeing. We live by faith. We have our being by faith and not by seeing. If you're living by what you see, you're going to have a tough life. But if you live by faith and say all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. Think of this, Peter walked on faith. I think people say he walked on water. I think he walked on a word. That's just me. He said, come out to me. And so Peter got out and walked to him. And when Peter began to look around and see, he became in trouble. When he got off of the word, when he got off of the faith, he got in trouble. You got to walk on that word and say, God has called us to this city and God wants to do great things in this city and we're going to see it. Okay, all right. I'm going to keep going. Okay. Y'all okay this morning? Pastor, how long do you go? I don't want to go too long. Is this okay? Great. Fantastic. Y'all okay this morning? Amen. This is still early. This is only like 8 o'clock in the morning for me. I got like 3 more hours, people. Amen. I'm from Tennessee. We got a long ways to go. When Goliath came out there, it says that Saul and the people of Israel, when they heard his voice, ran. Saul, the leader of the nation, heard the voice and he ran. That ain't a very good leader, my friend. New election, please. New king. Can we do this again, please? But if we look in Scripture, we see that Goliath was presented as a tall man, impressive in stature. And Saul, when he was picked as king, was presented as a tall man and impressive in stature. You would think that the man that is king is the one that's going to fight Goliath because he had the stature, he had the measurables, he had the knowledge, he's been to war. You'd think that he would be the one. Am I lying here? Just because somebody in your church looks like they're big and spiritual doesn't mean God's always going to use that person. He's looking for somebody that's willing to go into the world and reach them. It doesn't matter how big, how small, how tall, how short. Thank God he picked a short, chubby man from Tennessee to preach the gospel. Okay, I'm just being too honest. Y'all ain't preaching there. Okay, amen. He's one that could rally them. And we see in Scripture how he pulled together the nations and how he fought the Ammonites and how he brought great victory to them. But when it came to a true battle, his true colors came out. And then I began to think of the lessons that David had learned, because no man in Israel would step up. And I remember in Bible college, I was under Brother Mooney, and he said, you know what? If God has called you to go into a city and plant a church, you better go plant that church. He said, if you don't go plant that church, he said, I'm going to tell you right now. Boy, Brother Mooney, whoo, man, he was, oh, man. I was on my edge of my seat. I said, yes, sir, whatever you say, Brother Mooney. He said, if you don't go plant that church, God's going to send somebody else and put a church there for you. He said, if you're not going to do it, he's going to put somebody else there. You know what? I think it's the same thing of God speaking to you and saying, hey, you ought to go witness to that person. If you don't do it, God's going to send somebody else instead of you. You ought to say, I got enough faith. I ought to do it myself. I'm trying to get you to realize if you're not going to do it, God's going to send somebody else. And if he can send somebody else, you might as well let him use you, because if somebody else can do it, you can do it. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just preaching to y'all this morning. Okay, so lessons in the field I begin thinking of. They want to do it. So the one that came was a David, a little boy. Now, I don't know about you, man. I remember back in 9/11, a long time ago, praise God. Wow, that's years ago. I remember turning on the radio every day, and I'd be like, hey, war, what's going on? Are we attacking Iraq? What are we doing? Are we going? What's going on? And I'd turn it on, and they're like, tanks have rolled into Iraq, and we have attacked the kid. And I'm like, ooh, and I'm listening. And I think that's what was going on with David. It says David would leave the sheep with the caretaker, and he'd go out to the battlefield. And I think he got there. He's like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And that's what I feel in my spirit. I'm like, hey, Pastor Hansen, what's going on in Portland? What's going on here? What's going on here? Yeah. Why? I get their strongholds that have come up, but I've heard that there's a God in the nation of Israel. I've heard there's a God in the church of Portland, that he is greater than the enemy. So I've come out here to say, what's going on in this city? Tell me the victories. Tell me what God's doing here, because I believe he's doing it. I believe victory's for us. So he was running around, and then people began to talk to him. They're like, oh, David, you're crazy. Just shut up, man. Just go back home, man. This guy is nuts. He's wild. He's big. He's courageous. And then I began to think the lessons I learned in the field. And if you could do the next slide, I began to think of, I wonder what was going through David's mind when he sees a Goliath out there. And this Goliath can measure anywhere from about 100 inches tall. And then he begins to think, you know what? I remember a day I was out in the field taking care of my sheep, and a lion rose up. I don't know if you know this or not, but lions in that area are 78 inches tall from head to the foot. And they weigh 355 pounds on average. And you're afraid of Goliath? I don't know about you, man. I'm looking at Goliath or a lion. I'll take Goliath. That lion looks scary, man. Y'all ain't preaching. Y'all know. You go to the zoo and say, okay, let that one out. I want that lion. Come on out. Come on out here. Come on out, lion. I know y'all say. Really, David? That's all you really? Come on, David. You don't understand, man. This is a mighty man. And then he quickens in his mind again. He said, you know, I remember there was a bear that came. Hello. 550 pounds on average, bears in that region, yes? Yes, I am so scared of this Goliath man. Send out the bear. But what we do is we forget the battles that God has sent us through to get us to this point. The victories you've had behind you are not just something little, but they're to build your faith and elevate you, because the next trial that comes your way, you can look back and say, I've done faced my lion, I've done faced my bear, and you're nothing for me. We've already had victory in the church, but we're going to have greater victory in the church. It's not behind us. It's only going to get better. Come on, if you believe that this morning, you ought to praise God that God is not done with us. This has only been a stepping stone to where we're at right now. Revival isn't over. Growth isn't over. This church isn't full enough. We're not done with this city. It's only been a stepping stone. Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you clap your hands if you believe it. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. We praise you, Lord. We know that you are not done with us. We know victory is before us. We know that greater things are coming. Come on, right now, why don't you pray? I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Come on, you've been praying for this city. You've been praying for your family. You've been praying for your coworkers. And it looks hopeless. It looks like you have no hope. But God is for them. Come on, right now, you ought to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, you've been facing some giants in your life. Come on, the enemy's come against you. Come on, why don't you pray right now? Come on. Come on, why don't you raise your hands toward heaven? And why don't you pray again? I know the enemy looks big. I know they look large. But God's not done. God's not done. He's not done yet. Come on, why don't you pray? Why don't you pray? Come on, I know I'm not done yet. God's working right now. Why don't you pray in the Holy Ghost? Why don't you believe again?